Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
There are so many birth control options out there, and how do you know which one is the best for you? Some sound a little bit more scary than others. You're not sure whether some work. My guest is Dr. Mary Jane Minkin, and she is a gynecologist and obstetrician. So tell me a little bit, Dr. Minkin, about some of the birth controls options out there, because, you know, let's start with the pill, because we've been hearing about this for the last 40 years or so. What's going on in the world of the pill now?
A lot's going on in the world of the pill, and thank you, Melanie, for asking me to be with you. And, you know, your previous guest was discussing things to not worry about. Well, I do want people to worry about getting pregnant, because if you don't, if you're having sex and you're not using contraception, there's a pretty good chance you're going to get pregnant. So we want to find a method for folks that'll work for them. And for many people, the pill is an excellent option. The pill has been around now for 50 years. The pills, when they started out, had basically a very high level of estrogen, basically a level of about 100 micrograms a day. Well, we now have pills that have 10 to 20 micrograms of this ethinyl estradiol. So it's way, way less than the pills that, you know, our moms took, you know, 50 years ago. So it's really much safer than the old pills, where much lower risks of things like thrombophlebitis, blood clots, and stuff like that. So they're really quite good. And the pill has a lot of contraceptive benefits. For a lot of women, it makes their menstrual cramps better. It keeps them from getting ovarian cysts. It limits the amount of bleeding with the period. So it has a lot of good side effects. There's only one bad thing about the pill. You got to take it. So unfortunately, that if we have women who have trouble remembering to take a pill on a daily basis, it doesn't work so well. Now, for those people, we do have some other options that are similar to the pill, but not in a pill form. For example, there's a vaginal ring that women can basically change once a month. Well, that's sort of easy. There are also patches that women can use to change once a week. So it's sort of a similar principle as far as hormonal contraception, but not something you have to use on a daily basis.
Now, what about like an IUD? What about it? Because you know, these are still hormone releasers, right? They still have hormones.
Well, yes and no. But there are two major brands that are out there. One does and one doesn't, you know, okay? So there is the Mirena IUD, which is coated with progesterone, and that sits in your uterus. But the progesterone really doesn't give you much of a level in your bloodstream. Most of it goes right to the lining of the uterus, where it keeps you from getting pregnant. But a tiny bit does get into the bloodstream, but it's not much, and there's no estrogen involved. This is just progestin, and that's good for 5 years. But there's also another IUD out there called the Paragard, and that's coated with a little bit of copper, and that's good for 10 years. So there are no hormones involved. And one of the really good things out there with the Affordable Care Act is that contraceptives are now being covered. So the upfront cost of IUDs in the past certainly has been quite a prohibitive factor for many women, but now that they're being covered by many more insurance plans, that they will be covered, so you don't have to bear that cost of $500 all up front. And once it's in place, it is there, so it's going to be protecting you for 5 or 10 years, depending on which method. So if you say, gee, I really don't want to get pregnant in the near future here, but I really don't want to have something that I have to think about doing on a daily basis, that's certainly quite a good option for you.
And what about the diaphragm?
Diaphragm, lovely method. I say ancient method, but I did fit a young lady for one last week, and I think she was absolutely the perfect candidate. It's an excellent method. It's a barrier method. So the problem is you sort of have to be motivated to use it, because it doesn't work if it sits in the drawer. So if the woman, you know, or the couple is motivated to say, okay, I'm going to pop this thing in place, you know, into the vagina, you know, you can do it immediately before sex, or you can do it an hour before sex. You just leave it in place, and it stays in place, you know, overnight, and you take it out the next morning. It's quite effective, but again, you got to have somebody who's motivated to use that on a regular basis. Now, the one thing, though, and of course, condoms are out there.
Well, I was going to ask you about condoms, because, you know, some of these can go together, really.
Absolutely. And indeed, they should go together for many people because indeed, although birth control pills are lovely and IUDs are lovely, the problem is they're real good at preventing people from getting pregnant, but unfortunately, they're not really good for preventing sexually transmitted infections. And if you're in a situation where it's not a mutually monogamous relationship, you definitely want to be using a method to prevent sexually transmitted infections, and condoms will give you that, and they give you backup for, you know, for pregnancy. And let's put it this way, if you say, you know, you haven't been to a doctor or a nurse midwife, you haven't gotten a prescription, you know, and again, we're talking prescriptions for all these things. Well, condoms, you don't need a prescription for. So, you know, any couple can use a condom, and they're readily available, you know, you can use them. And the other thing is if you use a condom with a spermicidal foam or jelly, that makes the effectiveness like 98%, which is pretty darn good. So that if you haven't been to a healthcare provider, well, that's no barrier from contraception. You can go to your corner drugstore and be very well protected.
What about vasectomy? Is that something that is not that easy to get men to do? Is it reversible like people have heard, or is it really a permanent decision?
Excellent question. And the answer is, I always tell a couple thinking about sterilization, it should be considered permanent, although, yes, the vasectomy reversal rate is actually quite good these days, but it still should be considered a permanent method of contraception. So if a couple really isn't ready for vasectomy or permanent contraception, there's even that 1% chance they might want to have a kid at some point in the future. Why not pop an IUD in there? Because that's something you don't have to think about. It gives you, basically contraception equivalent to the sterilization pretty much, and then you have that reversibility option. So if somebody's got a waiver in them, I would encourage them to think about something like an IUD as opposed to sterilization. But if they're 100% sure, vasectomy is a very good option, and indeed it's quite effective. And it's an outpatient procedure. You don't have to go, knocked out and have general anesthesia or anything like that. A little Novocaine will do it. And it's a quite effective method. So I think it is a very good method. Now, of course, many men are reluctant to have a vasectomy. We know that. And I always say that all men would have vasectomies if their wives could have them for them. You know, then they would go for it.
Of course.
but that don't happen. So anyway, but it really has no effect on hormone levels. It doesn't make people have erectile dysfunction or anything like that. So it's really quite a good method if the couple is 100% sure they don't want any more kids.
Is breastfeeding an acceptable method of birth control?
No. Breastfeeding is great. It's fabulous. And it does diminish fertility. Does diminish fertility, but it's not, 100% by any means. And one of my favorite stories involved a wonderful midwife who I worked with many years ago. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman. And when people would ask her about, breastfeeding and contraception, she used to point to her two oldest sons who were a year apart. And she used to say, "Who breastfeeds more than a midwife? You see those two kids over there?"
anyway, that's great.
So it does decrease fertility, but it's not 100%. So,
and what about withdrawal?
It's certainly a good thing.
What about
Definitely not a good method, because the problem with withdrawal is that first drop of seminal fluid has a ton of guys in it, a lot of sperm there. So if even one drop of seminal fluid gets into the woman, that can get you pregnant. And, each time a guy ejaculates, he's going to put out 60 million sperm, something like that. I mean, it's a lot of those guys there, and you only need one to have a baby. So withdrawal is not a good method. But again, getting back to that thing about condoms, the pharmacies are open. There are plenty of 24-hour pharmacies, 24-hour supermarkets.
Go get a condom. And that's what I tell my husband, too, because I'm in my late 40s, Dr. Minkin, and I tell my husband that we've had our kids. But, I found that abstinence really works well, especially after 20 years of marriage.
That's an option. But
it's not the best.
Really,
it's not the
that.
Most fun. Now, in the last minute, in about 30 seconds here, give us your best advice for comparing the effectiveness of these different birth control methods and deciding which one is right for you.
Well, I just want to throw in one thought first. If in the heat of passion a couple does have sex not using contraception, remember you can get emergency, what we call post-coital contraception, over the counter at a pharmacy these days. Call Plan B, morning after pill, call it what you will. So if you have sex in the heat of the moment and say, oops, we should have used something, go to the pharmacy, get some morning after pills. Works pretty darn well. But barring that, any of these methods are really quite safe for almost everybody. Talk to your healthcare provider, get her advice, get his advice, and also do discuss with your healthcare provider your personal quirks or whatever to say, I really don't like to take a pill every day, or, you know, I really can't make my mind up that way, or I need something that's totally reliable without me thinking about it.
This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD.